Take your Bibles now and go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 17. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter number 17. This morning we'll read verses 26 through verse number 30 responsibly. I'll read verse 26. You'll join me on verse number 27 all the way through verse number 30. Luke chapter 17, verse number 26, the Bible says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day of Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Let's read verse number 30 together. "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray for our country this morning. Lord, there's many places across the country of groups of people just like this one that are meeting. Lord, we are meeting, Lord, by faith, Lord, trusting, Lord, that we're doing exactly what you want us to do. But Lord, would you please be with Christians across this nation, Lord, and some might be nervous, Lord, and some are distressed, Lord, at the circumstances that are going on around us. But Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the truths. Thank you for the promises that we can stand on in times like this. Lord, would you be with us this morning? Would you use our pastor? Fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Lord, encourage us. Lord, strengthen us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
I want you to use your Bibles this morning, and I want to talk to you this morning. I'm going to start by saying this. I don't really think that I'm going to preach hard today. I would like to talk to you. Please don't take this the wrong way. If you let me kind of be daddy talking to everybody for a while, do not call me Father Bush. All right? My collar's on the right way, and I am more, well, I just don't have any Catholic in me. All right? But, I'm not wearing a dress when I preach ever. But I'd like to talk to you today. I think I can help you. We are living in what the Bible calls perilous times. We are there for sure. Violence fills our streets, fills our cities, and fills the news of our day. Politicians are steering us towards a socialistic, fear-based society. And then you have all of the misinformation of fake news fed by every sewer line on television and media. We are living in perilous times. Perilous doesn't always mean fearful, though. I'd like to be a voice of reason, a voice of logic, and a voice of sense and calm while this all takes place. You have a preacher that's not all freaked out right now. I'm not all weirded out. I'm not all... I slept real good last night. I don't worry about it. You have to understand something. God told us in that book exactly what was coming. So if we know what's coming, why are we all so worried about it? Why should we be upset if we know what God says? Now, let me say it this way. Nobody knows exactly when Jesus is coming. Let me say that again. Nobody knows exactly when Jesus is coming. The Bible says no man knows the hour nor the day. If you don't know the hour or the day, you don't know the year either.
Right.
I hate to disappoint you. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, it says the hour and the day, but you can know the year. Show me in Scripture where it says you could even figure that out. I refuse to predict the timing of Jesus' coming at the rapture. But I also don't listen to anybody that makes those predictions, because I think the Lord will hold it off just to show them wrong. I really do. Harold Camping's been wrong how many times? God has given us the Bible, And he has told us man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means the Bible says all we need by which to live. You don't need CBS. You definitely don't need CNN. You don't even need Fox. You don't need Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity. You don't need Tucker Carlson. You don't need ABC, NBC, or any other CCC. You don't need the CDC or the WHO. You just need a good dose of the KJB. And I'm not talking about the Russian stuff either. Thought I better readjust that one just a hair. Let me say it this way. Who are we to put words in God's mouth? When we start getting ahead of what that book says, then we are putting words into God's mouth that God did not say.
Right.
I may be guilty of a lot of things, but I'm not going to tell you what God said when God didn't say it. I may not be an intellectual, but I'm smart enough not to say what God doesn't say. Who am I to think I know more than what God knows? If we're not careful, we can get so involved into what the prophecy. Guess what? What we need to know is what God said, not what we think.
Right.
Now, there is an event called the rapture that is coming. Let me help you with something. It is not the rapture of the church. It's the rapture of the saved.
Right.
People say, well, it's the rapture of the church. No, that means you believe in a universal church. It is the rapture of the saved. We don't all become his bride until we get to heaven. There's no such thing as a universal type church till you get to heaven. It is not the rapture of the church. It's the rapture of the saved. Everybody doing okay? Now, I want to help you. I know by fact that we're 2,000 years closer to the rapture than we were in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus went to heaven. Say, are we getting closer to the rapture? Yep, every tick of the clock. So, well, it's closer than it's ever been. Don't know, but I know we're 2,000 years closer to it than we were.
Yeah.
I would say we're getting pretty close.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, that, not Acts 1, 8, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Acts chapter 1, and let me look at verse number... verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. By the way, it's the same one, not one like him. It is Jesus himself who had resurrected from the dead, spent 40 days here on the earth after the resurrection. And these two angels said, this same Jesus, now watch this, verse number 11 again, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Guess what? They said, look, he's going up, but one day he's coming back. Now, they watched him go. Hopefully, we're here when he comes back.
That's right.
That is the goal. That's what the rapture is all about. Now, God does not tell us there are some signs, or God does tell us that there are some signs or some events that will happen before his coming. Listen to this statement, though. It does not say how soon after these signs and events come that he is coming.
That's right.
Just because you see evidence of some of these things may not mean that his coming is imminently right now. Because I could take you through 2,000 years of history and show you where some of these things have been happening.
Right.
Let's take God and his word at face value. This should motivate us to be right with him before he comes. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be right with him when he comes. Everybody doing all right? This ought to motivate us to get the gospel out so that people have a chance to hear the truth before literally all of hell cuts loose on earth.
Amen.
You see, once we're out of here, there's not a whole lot of folks getting saved for, folks will get saved for the first 3.5 years because the 144,000 Jews become soul winners all over the earth. But there's only a chance for a very small portion of time for people to get saved. And then for the last 3.5 years of that, it's pretty bad. This should motivate us not to panic like the world. The world's living all freaked out right now. Have you noticed?
That's right.
Phew. God says that these words ought to be a comfort to us, not make us fearful. God says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So if you're living in fear of what may be, can I tell you something? Don't live in fear, live in comfort. Now let's take a look at what God says is going to happen before his coming. And I think that I can help you. We read here in Luke chapter 17, verse number 26. The Bible says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So God says, before he comes back, it'll be very similar to the days of Noah. Do you remember what happened in the days of Noah? God had Noah build an ark. It took him 120 years. During that time, he preached the gospel, and there was only 7 other people that got saved and were willing to follow God. Noah's wife, his 3 sons, and his 3 daughter-in-laws. Can you imagine preaching for 120 years and having only 7 people follow you? Some people would say he wasn't very successful. I'd say God did pretty good with it. You say, what were those days like? Preacher, turn to Genesis chapter 6. I can show you. Genesis chapter 6. We're going to read just a few verses. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. By the way, it's the first book of the Bible. Shouldn't have too much trouble. Jamie, did you help Scott there? Okay, you got it right there? She helped you. All right. Now he's trying to find chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Skip down to verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with what? Violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the ark. So God says several things here of what it was like in the days of Noah. We read in verse 27, they did eat, drink, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now I want you to notice something. The Bible says that the wickedness was great. Do we not live in a wicked society? Probably one of the saddest, most wicked, most evil things I heard and saw this week on the news. I told my wife, I can't believe I've lived this long in America to hear this take place. The president's brother passed away this week. By the way, his brother was a saved man. Our president is a saved man. He had a private ceremony at the White House. I happen to know the preacher who did the service. It was not Dr. Fugit, don't worry. But I know who the man was. Now listen to this very carefully here. The leader of the NAACP came out this week and said, the wrong Trump died. We wish the president would have died. Folks, that is the epitome of wickedness. I don't agree with the Muslims who pray to Allah, but I'll pray for all of those poor folks who have lost family members in Beirut, Lebanon. My heart hurts for them. When you are so wicked that you wish somebody else died than the person that died, especially when it's the President of the United States, that is wickedness. Especially when supposedly you have a place of leadership. May I say something to you? I wish nobody to die. As much as I despise some of the people in Congress, like Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and others, I do not wish that they die. I wish they would receive the gospel and get saved. But may I say something? I will not be happy if they were to die. Say why? Because I believe in the sincerity of humanity, and I can hurt for people when they hurt. I do not wish for any human to die. Say why? Because that's wickedness. I love our dear friend, Brother Fred. I don't wish him to die, but when we're at this stage, that we may ask the Lord to hasten it so that it doesn't get prolonged and cruel. Not because I hate him, but I love him, and he's ready to go home. You see, that's wickedness. Evil imagination continually. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 6 that the imagination of their heart was evil continually before the Lord. Have you taken a look at Hollywood recently? You talk about every evil imagination of the heart. Lord, have mercy. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Might as well. Some of you play evil video games. I think it's dangerous when you play games that involves killing people. That is evil. You say, well, it's just a video game, preacher. You talk to any police officer in any police force in any jurisdiction in our country, and they'll tell you the most dangerous criminals with guns are those that have been trained on video games. They have an adrenaline numbingness to them, and they're able to just do so much more damage because they are so numbed to the adrenaline due to video games and due to the accuracy that they've learned from those games. What good is there in killing somebody on a screen? See, well, it's just a game, preacher. The Bible says it's evil. When you are trying to destroy somebody else, that is evil. Everybody doing okay? Okay, I'm having fun. Nobody else is. Look at how wicked people's imaginations are today. You know, it used to be when we were boys. Man, it was cowboys and Indians. You prayed that you were the cowboy and not the Indian. You say, oh, that's racial, preacher. We didn't know any better. There was nothing racial about it. We were just boys trying to beat each other to get the snot beat out of each other. Just need an excuse for it. Amen, Brother Mike? I mean, good night. You could call it, you know, Muslims versus Christians. I don't know. I don't know what the comparison would be today. But we used to play a game called Smear the Rainbow. You just didn't want to be the one in the middle, amen? Say, why was that? Because we were teaching boys to be men. We played Evel Knievel on our bikes. Y'all remember that? Oh, man, we would jump the Snake River Canyon. Say, what was it? Man, we had boards on rocks and we were jumping things. I don't know how many times I've crashed and busted myself and my dad had come home and the tires are flat and the rims are bent. And he'd say, what was you guys jumping today? Oh, nothing. Yeah, right. You know, you can't lie that good. You know, when your rim goes down the road, you're trying to get home. Some of you guys, you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. You still do it. Now you have a motor on it instead. You know, there was a time when you had a stick in your hand and you pretended it was a sword. And if you didn't have a ball bat, you turned the same stick into a ball bat and was hitting rocks or golf balls. Amen? Right into the neighbor's windows. Or whatever. We had an imagination, but it wasn't evil. Boy, today people's imaginations are evil. I never dreamed as a preacher 40 years ago I would have to stand up and talk about people imagine evil like rape and maliciousness and beating people up. And we are programming people to think this way. Bible says that the earth was filled with violence. Should we take a tour of America? Seattle, Portland, Chicago, New York City. Isn't it amazing? The mayor of Chicago can go ahead and let them riot in the streets while the police are knocking on doors of churches right now. And if they have people in church, they're arresting pastors and arresting the people in the church because it might spread a disease and that's deadly. And she has the very same police department that she wants to defund protecting her property on her street because she has the right to protect her property. Those are her words, not mine. Isn't it amazing? She has the right to protect her property, but nobody else does? Say, what is that? The earth is filled with violence. Look at the violence going on around our world. Good night. The violence is incredible. The Bible says that all flesh has corrupted his way. Say, what is that? Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. People live worse than animals. Say, well, that person, they live like an ant. No, most animals live better than most people when you get into this level of evil and wickedness. Man killing each other. People shooting babies. People shooting children in the streets just to make a statement. Folks, that is evil continually. That is all flesh being corrupted. We have desensitized our nation to where it does not shock us when we see what we see on the news today. I despise, and by the way, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You need to turn stupid television off on the news. Amen. You have desensitized yourself and you've reprogrammed yourself to accept it. Yep. It ought to shock us. And it doesn't shock us anymore. We have to look at the whole world, not just America. We ought to look beyond the borders of the United States and see the violence and the wickedness all around the globe. ISIS. The violent Muslim attacks against people all around this globe. Wars. National leaders killing their own people, the Chinese, the Lebanese, and others. Folks, the Chinese government doesn't care how many of their people die. They really do not care. They have so many people there that what's losing a few hundred thousand going to do to them? God's biggest problem in the days of Noah, here you go, was the wickedness in marriage. Look at Luke 17:27 again. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Notice two of the four things involve marriage there. Man has defiled the holy relationship of marriage. Let me say that again. Around our globe, not just in America, but we have defiled the holy sanctity of marriage. It's pretty bad. My wife and I have been married 31 years. And people say, boy, that's a long time. How many of you old timers remember people being married 50 and 60 and 70 years? Yeah. My mom and dad are working on 59 years. That used to be a normal thing. I'm glad that I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 aunts and uncles that have all been married over 50 years. I mean, we're the young bucks in the family at 31 years. That's not heard of anymore. It's unusual. I think my dad's parents, before they both passed away, grandma and grandpa married 68, 69 years, something like that, almost 70 years. My other grandparents were married 45 years, and then my grandmother was a widow for over 30-some years. You see, man has perverted marriage. I knew the moment, and I have been preaching against the right for sodomites to marry one another. It is in our church constitution. I and none of our staff will marry sodomites. I cannot put God's seal of approval on two men or two women getting married. I refuse. Say, well, you are really nice. Don't ask me to be nice. God didn't say it. But God didn't make Adam and Steve. He made Adam and Eve. Amen. This LGBTQ alphabet soup rainbow coalition of we don't even know what we are is destroying America. I was sent this week a copy of a question going to every WVU student about their gender, and the list was about this long, and at the very end it says other, just in case. Being asked of every student at WVU. Well, folks, it's real simple. I could have solved it with two lines, male, female. Amen. That's it. It's real simple. I talked to a pastor this week, Brother Jeff Harris. Pastor's up in Rochester, New York. When he started his church up there, he found an Episcopal church that they had built a brand new set of buildings on one end and had the other end of the buildings open for rent. He thought, man, this could work. They can stay at their end. I'll stay at my end. Everything will work fine. They gave him a good deal. He was able to start his church there. And he was talking to the priest, which happened to be a South African lady, a white lady. And she began to tell him, she said, look, I'm going to be out of town, so don't take the contract to the church building. Bring it by my house at this address, and my wife will get it from you. He said, my jaw hit the ground. He said, I did what she said, and when I got there, she was a Southern Baptist teaching in the local seminary. Everybody doing okay? People are living worse than animals in immorality. When two people that aren't married are living together, it's still shacking up, don't care what they call it. It's still an abomination, and it's still sinful, and it's still wrong. Amen. You ought to stay apart till you get married. Don't touch each other before you get married. Right. Say why? God said it's adultery and fornication. Get mad at me all you want. I'm just telling you what God says. Amen. I'm old fashioned. I happen to believe it. we have perverted so much that people are having physical relationships with animals. You don't realize how bad it is in America. These people that love their pets so much, some of them love them too much. God tells us that when it gets as bad as it was in the days of Noah, then we ought to be getting ready for the rapture. When you have TV shows called Wife Swap, Married at First Sight, and other shows, and I don't know anything about those shows, guess what? We're in trouble. The Bible also says, as it was in the days of Lot. Look at verse number 28. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. We won't take time to turn to Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19, but mark it down. You could go back to Genesis chapter 18 and 19 and read about what it was like in the days of Lot. Let me give you a quick summary. The Bible says that the old people and the young people were just as perverted. It would surprise you how many people over the age of 50 and 60 are involved in the LGBTQ movement. You read in Genesis chapter 18 that Lot offered his two unmarried daughters to the people of Sodom to do whatever they wanted to do with those two girls, so that he would not, so that the Sodomites would not get the two angels that went into Lot's house. He said, I can't give you them, but I'll give you my two unmarried daughters. Can you imagine offering your own daughters to be given to the hands of the vileness of the society of today? I can't imagine being so far away from God that I would have offered my daughter's purity and her own life to be given just out on the streets. How wicked must it be? By the way, those are the only two daughters that were under his leadership. The Bible says he couldn't even convince his daughters and sons-in-laws to go with him. The rest of his family was part of that crowd. Can you imagine parents offering their children like that? Well, in the this week in the news, a man from Kentucky offered somebody $2,500 if they would buy his kid at a gas station. Lot literally had to drag his wife and his two unmarried daughters out of Sodom with him, and his wife was so attached to it, God told him not to look back. When she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. It was so bad that Lot's unmarried daughters birthed children from Lot after they got him drunk for the next two nights. They were young, he was not. Imagine how filthy and vile that must be. If you knew what the incest rate was in America today, it would shock you. Everybody doing okay? The Bible says that alcohol flowed like a river. America is a drunkard nation. The world is a drunk world. People bought and sold. You say, what's that all about, preacher? Everything was about money. Can I tell you something? There is more to life than making money. Amen. Come on Wednesday night, I'll teach you about it. Look at the perversion of the sexuality of today. You can abort a baby, but I could be criminally held liable for saying unmarried people shouldn't act like animals and ought to get married before they sleep together. I have to be careful what words I use from behind this microphone so that I'm not held legally liable for slander against the LGBTQ community. I use the word sodomite on purpose. It's a scriptural, biblical word, and it's the one that I can't be tried for in court. It Everybody doing okay? By the way, they hate that word worse than any word. Notice they don't have an S on their letters. Not just because it means straight. We now have people pushing to make being a pedophile a sexual preference. They are trying to make it legal. And the moment you start down the path of legalization of sodomy, you are going to end up with pedophilia being legal. They're pushing it through right now, trying to in California and Oregon and Washington. Folks, when I went to kindergarten, Mrs. Carstens looked at us and said, boys line up here, girls line up there, and everybody knew where they were supposed to go. In the state of California, they're no longer putting gender on birth certificates because they say it's up to the right of the child and they're not old enough to know yet. They can fill it in later. The world uses sex, pornography, and impropriety to sell and advertise everything. The average billboard contains more pornography than Playboy did 50 years ago. I don't know because I didn't see it 50 years ago, nor do I see it now, but I am told that. So, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot, and number three, what are some of the signs that need to take place? Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 21. I'm going to give you another reference that you could write in your Bible or write down somewhere. You can go to Matthew chapter 24 later. It's very similar to this passage. But Matthew chapter 21, we're going to read a passage here. And I'm going to read and holler, read and holler, read and holler. Amen. Matthew chapter 21, look at verse number 8. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of the wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Have you noticed in the last 100 years? You had the Spanish-American War. You had World War I. You had World War II. The Korean War. The Vietnam War. You had Desert Storm. You had all the other ones that have been since then. Guess what? Wars, rumors of war. We could go to Rwanda, the annihilation of the people of Rwanda by their own government. I could take you across the world and show you war after war after war after war after war. Let's keep reading. Verse number 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Sound familiar with China? And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. Heard about earthquakes recently? Anywhere? Like North Carolina? Diverse places. Watch this. Famines. Pestilences. Do you know what the word pestilence is? Virus. The word pestilence literally means a virus, a sickness by viral. And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Oh, there's going to be an asteroid come near the earth. Guess what? They're out there all the time. Don't worry about it. I mean, it's going to come within 1.5 miles of the earth. We're all freaked out. There's going to be an asteroid close. Okay. Verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Everybody look at me. How can you be turned into the government if you're not even having church?
That's right.
It's not the ones not having church that are getting turned in. It's the ones having church getting turned in. Everybody doing okay? Right now, in the state of California, I have a pastor that I know out there. He and I aren't real close, and I wouldn't agree with everything he says, but I'll stand with him. They put a cease and desist order on his church in California right now. He doesn't know what he's facing, but he told his people he's showing up today. Good for him.
Amen.
He ought to. I think his church ought to show up and stand around him.
Amen.
You can't take a couple thousand people to the same jail.
Nope.
Right. Everybody doing okay? And if they take us all at one time, guess what? We're going to have church in the jail.
Amen.
Don't you worry. I'm going to preach till the earthquake comes and rattles the doors open. Amen. You see, the Bible says that they could be imprisoned. They're going to be put in the news because of violating government law. Folks, it's coming. It's coming. The day's coming. Hang on. Say, preacher, are you worried? Not at all. He told us it was coming. What are you worried about? Well, what about the one world government? You're going to be out of here before then. Don't you worry. Well, what if they make us take a vaccine? They can't make you take anything.
Nope.
Bill Gates doesn't have the power to make you do that. By the way, that's who's behind it.
Yep.
I want you to know something. God says those that face that kind of thing, they do it for a testimony. All these pussyfooting, back scratching, ear tickling little preacherettes that going around, well, we need to shut down for our community's sake. Well, God says you're going to face persecution as a testimony. I'll take the testimony. You can wiggle when you walk.
Amen.
God says obey God over government any day.
That's right.
I got to hurry up here. Verse number 13, and it shall turn to you for testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, and your adversary shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed by both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. And your parent, in your patience, possess your souls. Now, listen to this very carefully here. They're going to ask people to turn people in that aren't doing what the government says. Your family. Kids are going to be told in schools, if your mommies and daddies aren't wearing masks, let us know and we'll have the government come arrest them. And you because you need to listen to the teacher in the state, not your mommy and daddy. It's coming. Kids in college are going to be told to turn their parents in. Anybody doing okay? Can I tell you something? People will hate soul winners. And I'm the one that gets the phone calls. You're killing people by letting somebody knock on my door. That's okay. I thought you cared about people. I do. I care about you not dying and going to hell. If you're going to get sick and die, how about you know for sure you're going to heaven instead of frying in hell?
Amen.
Yeah. Look at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with a perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. I'm not telling you that some of the earth is slowing down its productivity and potentially what they call global warming, climate change, whatever. Can't tell you that it's all not necessarily true. They're making a multi-trillion dollar profit on it.
Yep.
Can I tell you something? Don't worry about the mark of the beast. Well, what about the alignment of the nations? All of the nations were aligned in 1948 when Israel became a state. There's nothing else left after that. Oh, I understand. You have the Assyrians, which are the Turkey in the Bible. That shows their aggression. I could go to what some of these nations were. Babylon is Iraq and Iran. I could show you the fall of Babylon, and some preachers believe that America, that Babylon is a political system, not a place, and that America would fall in where Babylon is out of Jeremiah 50 and 51. I don't give much credence to any of that mess. Is it? Couldn't tell you. Doesn't matter. Babylon falls in Revelation chapter 19 and chapter 20 of Revelation. That's after the tribulation. Guess what? We're out of here long before then. I don't put much credence in the alignment of the nations. Well, the European common market could be this and that. You can speculate all you want. That's not what the Bible says. Just know this, that in the Bible, when geography is mentioned, when it says that north, everything north, south, east, or west is based off of Israel. So when it says north, that's north of Israel, not north of us. When it says east, that's east of Israel, not just east of us. Everybody doing okay? What about a cashless society, preacher? Or are we going to have to get the mark of the beast? We're out of here before that takes place. We may see the setup for it. There's no such thing as a coin shortage. Just so you know, it's just another step closer to cashless society. I get it. I've talked to two bankers this week. They have more coins in their vaults than they know what to do with right now. And they haven't even gotten all I have, and I know my dad's got about $4 billion worth stuck in one of those Coke bottles that's about that high. Now, wait a minute. Folks, yes, you're going to see signs of it, but you're not going to be part of it. Don't worry. You're not going to take the mark of the beast. You're out of here before any of that takes place. You may see some of the leading up to it, but you're not going to be here for it. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me read one more passage of scripture, and then I'll shut her down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse number 1. And I'm going to read real fast here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as at the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That's the rapture. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, or the wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, that's the word of God, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Ooh, all power and signs and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Everybody look at me. We live in a delusional society. We live in a society that does not love truth. They love lies. They have rejected the truth. Say, what is that, preacher? That's where we're at today. But 1 Thessalonians 4 says this. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, which sorrow not as the others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, not by the word of the news, but by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, that the dead in Christ rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Watch this. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We have nothing to be afraid of. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are saved, Bible says that he's coming back for us one day. If we die, the Bible says that we'll resurrect first with him, and then we which are alive will be caught up together with him. But either way, he's coming back. So the key is this, knowing for sure you're saved. Amen. If you're saved, guess what? We blow this popsicle stand before it gets real bad. Amen. That's the only way I know how to say it. And we ought not be afraid of it. It ought to comfort us to know we don't have to go through what the rest of the world's got to go through. What a comfort. What a blessing. Say, preacher, when's the Lord coming back? When the trumpet sounds. But until then, it's our job to get the gospel out. It's our job to preach the gospel and to help every person get strong enough to be able to take the gospel to every creature that we possibly can, because we don't have long. I know we're 2,000 years closer than we were when it was written. Every tick of the clock gets us closer. Who knows? We might not make it back for church tonight. If so, Brother Scott will teach. By the way, folks, we're out of here first. There's corruptors out there that tell me, well, we don't rapture until the middle of the tribulation or at the end of the tribulation. They're heretics, they're idiots, and they don't know what the Bible says. Just know we get out of here first. I promise you. Because otherwise you could predict exactly what day the Lord would be coming back. Because God tells us how many days from the time the rapture takes place till the middle of tribulation is. And you would be able to predict exactly when the end of the tribulation is. Therefore, it can't be in the middle or the end, because no man knows the hour nor the day.
Sorry.
He's coming back. Are you ready? If you are, don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. We have nothing to fear. All we have to do is keep our focus on heaven, keep doing what he said, and may we be found faithful and obedient, and he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, I'd like to hear those words. I'd like to hear God say to our church, well done. You did it. Did it in tough times. Well done. That means we must stand. That means we must be ready for what comes. I'm not saying you're going to go to jail for going to church. But the day may come where we have to make that decision. I can't promise you that your preacher might not have a record someday. But that record will be for standing for the gospel. That much I'll promise you. Are you ready for the rapture? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I just want to be a voice of calm. I want to be a voice of reason biblically to a freaked out, weirded out society. People are more afraid of a germ or a virus than they are dying and going to hell. Oh, how sad. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today? Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands. You may put them down. If you've never been saved, if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ and that alone to take you to heaven, how about you come? We'll take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we're a part of the church. If you'd like to join the church, great. There's no pressure. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, we'd love to have you. Old-fashioned, independent, King James only. Not making any apologies for any of it. But maybe you just need to come kneel at an old-fashioned altar and just tell the Lord you're ready to get things ready so that when he comes, we're ready to go.